Silence.
Double silence.
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Pride Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 225 of Nerd Pride Radio.
225? That's $2 and a quarter.
That's right.
Yeah!
You got one. It's also 15 squared. That's all I got. So, ask me how I'm doing today. Go on. Ask me.
How you doing?
I am awesome. My name is Mike Jones. I'm a D&D / Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd plus. There's like seven other kinds of nerd I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to hang around about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore. As always, you are listening to the best smelling podcast on the internet. That's right. Nerd Pride smells exactly like the candy-flavored bunny turds that we found on our floor this morning.
Except we didn't.
Well, no. Okay. Hey, but happy Easter, everybody. We're recording on Easter and April Fool's Day, so there's that.
No, we're not actually recording Stops episode.
but this is now the time for the meticulously planned portion of the podcast. This is the time for me and my son, Aiden, here. If something strikes us as interesting during the course of our busy, busy week, we add it to the master list. And then the very best stuff off of that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when we record.
You lucky dogs.
Okay, and
did you go through all your nerds?
What?
I'm having memory problems. Did you go through all your nerds in your whole intro?
Yes.
Okay.
You were sitting right here.
I know, I was distracted.
Oh.
I was laughing way too hard internally about my $2 and a quarter joke.
So sad. here's the deal. This week, the master list got nothing. Nothing was added to it.
Leave us alone, it's a holiday.
Aiden said before the show, hey, you know, right now when I watch this horror movie, I will still not have to fill out a whole segment. Crap. And I looked at my master list and I've got nothing written down. So, this is going to be a short, meticulously plotted portion. What we do have, incidentally, is a science fiction double feature. That's right, here at Nerd Pride Radio, you get not one, but two movie reviews for the same low, low price. As I mentioned last week, I did see Wrinkle in Time without my son Aiden. He's still bitter. He still hasn't seen it. I'm sorry,
you
Aiden.
You purposefully excluded me. How dare you?
In between working long shifts. You had just gotten off work. You had to go back to work, and I made an executive decision to leave you behind because you were super tired, dude, and
because, you know, we hate you.
And because, you know, you make movies less enjoyable. That's all I'm saying. Nothing against you.
Maybe you'd like good movies.
Yeah, that's right. So, anyway, I saw Wrinkle in Time, and
you're not allowed to talk about it.
No, but I can say I really enjoyed it.
Yes.
And I can say that it was, A Wrinkle in Time, the book, was one of the first science fiction books that really just spoke to me, inspired me. It's certainly the first one I remember and remember reading and thinking. It just,
like,
it blew my mind. The idea of
spoke to you, like, on a spiritual level, or spoke to you in the same way that the Necronomicon speaks to you?
Kind of a little of both, because A Wrinkle in Time it's about extra-dimensional space and tesseracts and manipulating space-time, and it was all it took really cool physics concepts that at that time, in like fourth grade or fifth grade when I first read it, I had never even considered any of this stuff, and it took it and it bent it all up in knots and made it into this very practical action-adventure sort of thing. And I particularly thought that this version of it, for those of you who are familiar with the story, captured the spirit of Meg, the hero of the story, captured her spirit extremely well. I remember when I first read the thing, I remember how angry she was, and I don't remember getting it at the time. I mean, I was fascinated by the science. I was hypnotized by the science and the wonder of it all. And I didn't get Meg's anger. That was just not something I related to. But now, revisiting the story years and years later, I get it. And they played it out very well on the big screen, and I loved the whole thing. And I get that it's not well reviewed, and I get why, because it's odd. It's odd and it's quirky, and it's got all this science stuff, but it's not about the science stuff. It's about Meg, and it's fascinating, and I loved it. I just thought it was beautiful, but hey, that's me. But the other thing that we saw, and we saw this just yesterday,
was Ready Player One.
We saw Ready Player One.
Which I wasn't excluded from.
Well, because you were awake and we couldn't get out of the house fast enough.
And you somehow hated me less that day.
Yes, and somehow you were all right. No, it was Jacob insisted we bring you. So what did
you? He's the only one I like.
What did you think of Ready Player One?
I actually really, I was expecting it to suck. I was expecting it to suck real hard.
Exactly. Look.
But I actually really enjoyed it.
Him and Jacob both, having not read the book and knowing that it is a Steven Spielberg-directed joint and seeing the trailers, which make it look like a mishmash of 80s
look,
references.
Nostalgia!
Yeah, and it, making it look like a Gen Xer nostalgia fest. They were expecting this to be really stupid, and they were expecting to hate it. And as it turns out, it wasn't, and they didn't. So it was a great story. And is it as good as the book? No. Although, I mean, in some ways, because, you know, it I don't know. Seeing it on the big screen was really super cool. But it also left out a lot of the detail. I tried to explain to everybody afterwards that I felt like, in most ways, the movie Ready Player One really captured the spirit of the book extremely well while simplifying the story and having none of the details of the original book. I mean, like, every aspect of the contest, every aspect of the various challenges and how they had to accomplish things and how they had to beat things, pretty much every single point of that was all completely changed for the movie to make it more cinematic. And I didn't mind. It was really cool. It was, all I can tell you is I was really worried because I knew Jacob and Aiden weren't looking forward to this movie, and I was worried that if it was cheesy, if it came off weird.
Because it looked like it sucked.
I was so worried about them through the movie, but I'm telling you, when it got to the word Gundam, and they both lost their shit, they were so excited. It was well done. Spielberg knows how to make a crowd pleaser. I didn't like the trite lesson that he's trying to teach at the end, which is not all that different from the lesson that the book was trying to teach, is that, you know, yes, the virtual world is great and all, but you have to live your life and you have to, you know, you have to experience the real world. And I felt like the book hit that with a nice balance of what that means. Whereas, as much as I enjoyed the whole rest of the movie, the very end, mm-hmm. the very last bit where they managed to work in that lecture, that lesson of, you know, well, maybe you need to spend more time in the real world. And it felt lectury. It felt preachy. It felt, mm-hmm. It felt like Spielberg as a 60-something year old dude who does not live this culture or get it in the same way. It felt like him speaking down to the younger generation, and I didn't care for that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was such a minor part. It was just a tag at the end. Whole rest of the movie, you gotta love it. It was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. So that was me. And
there's something for everyone in it.
Yeah. Yeah, there really is. And it is not nearly as much nonstop 80s references as the book was. I mean, the book where...
This time it's nonstop 90s references.
It was, yeah. In the book, I mean, it's like every single point that they want to go through, it's like they're racking their brains and they're cycling through every 80s reference they can think of. And there's and to the people who are upset about all the 80s references in it, at least the story is contrived so that there is a good reason why they have to do that. You know, it's not just there for the sake of nostalgia. It's there because it's actually essential to the plot. But for whatever that's worth, if you like the book, I think you'll like the movie. And if you've never read the book, you'll still probably like the movie. I mean, like, everyone in our family enjoyed it. We're a bunch of nerds. You listen to this podcast, so you're a nerd. So you'll probably get it. And, you know, it's rated 76-77% on Rotten Tomatoes. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, that's about right. It's a pretty good movie. So there you go. All right, and then that's it. That's all we have for the meticulously plotted portion of the podcast. We are now 10 minutes in, and we're out of material. So you know where we're going? Where do you think we're going, Aiden?
Listener Betrayal?
No! You're skipping too far ahead.
The meticulously plotted portion of the podcast?
No, that's the part we just did. What comes between the meticulously plotted portion and Listener Betrayal?
Fingertips.
No! The credits.
Oh!
No. My voice is already going. I can't do it myself. But it is time for the
pod.
Let him do it.
Automatic. You weren't there with me.
Hot dog. This is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. Because of my voice, I can feel it scratching and it was starting to go. I was going to have a coughing fit if I kept going. The end of every cast, we bring out R2 and his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble. He rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And Aiden, I suppose. And yeah. Where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that's where you guys come in. You want to hear us haver on about something? You send your question or topic to us by email, or better yet, in a private message on our forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. We'll add it to the Pod-O-Matic list because Pod-O-Matic is about what you want it to be.
I caught up at the end.
Yes. And here's the deal. My brother, Kyle, sent 50 new Pod-O-Matics this week, which means...
He's still dwarfed by Ron.
Well, no, that means that I threw in his 50 Pod-O-Matics, and then, as promised, I had to dump in another 26 from Ron so that Ron can stay at one-third of the whole list. So we're now up to, like, 250 grand total that are on the main list, plus all of Ron's backups. You guys are doing awesome. Now... For those of you who are a little intimidated because Kyle and Ron are dominating this list, start sending me some more. Like, you don't, and not even that many. Like, you know, send me 10 or 15. That'll guarantee that you get in, once a show, once every other show. So, I mean, it's not that tough. Just send me a few, a handful.
And those of you who are not on the site, but can contact either Mike or me in other ways, please ask us in person or over text or
right,
whatever.
That's right. If you know my phone number or Aiden's for that matter, you can text us Pod-O-Matics, you can email us Pod-O-Matics, you can come visit the site and put them in a private message, which is the best way to do it, but we'll take anything, and we will add it to our Pod-O-Matic list. So there you go. All right, enough of that garbage. Our number is 53. 53 is from, hold on, oh, look at that, I actually have the whole list up. There we go. 53 is from Kaz, speaking of someone who's not Kyle or Ron. And Kaz says, if there was a paranoia... MMO, would you play? I don't think so.
Yeah.
Because,
hey, mind if I join in?
I do not mind if you join in. It is close to your bedtime, but you're certainly allowed to be around. You can't lean on the table, though.
Bam.
All right.
That's good.
All right.
I think that paranoia only works because it has a live, like, DM to kind of mediate things. So I think that a paranoia MMO would not have nearly the same fun value or magic that it as a role-playing game has.
Right, and I completely agree. It really needs a live game master to make it work. And and if you had it massively multiplayer, it would have to be done in cells where you have multiple game masters who are coordinating each individual troubleshooter team. And then preparing for times when there are crossovers of characters from one into another. That was Eli, by the way. Just in case you're wondering who would be so rude on a podcast. That was Eli. So, I know, yeah, see that? He just said he didn't even have to try. That's just all natural. Oh. Oh.
Oh.
Okay, we get it now. So anyway.
Yeah, he's denying it. He said it just came out of nowhere.
So anyway. No, I probably wouldn't play a Paranoia MMO, but, you know, that's
I'd give it a shot, but...
I'm just intimidated by MMOs. I've never played one, so there you go. 28. And 28 comes from...
What's an MMO?
Right. No, you need to not leave.
It is a
table.
Massively multiplayer online game.
Wow.
So, 28 is from Mrs. Darks.
And she says, 5. What is your favorite fractal?
Mandelbrot.
Yes. Mandelbrot is my favorite fractal. However, because I love those videos that zoom in on the Mandelbrot set to the nth degree, I come up with the various colorized probabilities for it. I love the Mandelbrot set. It is awesome. When I was in college, I had a graphing calculator, and this was a primitive graphing calculator because it was 30 years ago. And the TA for our advanced calc class taught us how to program our graphing calculators to show us whatever close-up segment of the Mandelbrot set we wanted. That was pretty damn cool. Even in black and white, it was pretty cool. So I enjoy that one. I also like the Sierpinski gasket, only because it's one that I can construct myself. So I enjoy that one.
Which one's the Sierpinski gasket?
It's the, I think Sierpinski is the one where you take a triangle and then you cut out an inside triangle, and then with your three remaining segments, you cut out a smaller triangle from those. And that's your Sierpinski gasket.
Yep.
I like that one. So, but you know, fractals in general are just cool. So, all right. I keep forgetting how this whole process works. We have to roll dice.
57. 57
is from... It's from Kyle! Alright. Kyle with all his massive list of new Podomatics. What is your take on the Maze Runner movies?
So, the Hunger Game movies.
I kinda like them, while still acknowledging that they're pretty dumb. I watched the third, which is exceedingly dumb, but still exceedingly fun. I have only seen the first Maze Runner movie.
I feel that Maze Runner is trying really hard with the cinematography and the acting to be really close to what the Hunger Games movies are.
Oh, yeah, look, clearly Maze Runner gained popularity in the wake of Hunger Games, and it not necessarily saying that they copied Hunger Games or that they were trying to ride that, but I think whoever wrote Maze Runner, I think, may have gotten their opportunity because of Hunger Games. But either way, I've only read the first book, and I've only seen the first movie. And I liked it. I liked the first book a lot. I thought it was wonderful, and then I just never was motivated to read the second one, even though, I have kind of an idea of where it goes, because Eli has read all of them, and
so
Eli?
Have I.
Oh, you read all of the Maze Runner?
Yeah.
And Eli, did you see all the movies, or just one and two?
One and two, I don't...
Yeah, he hasn't seen the third one. The Death Cure just pisses him off.
It
so.
Just came out.
Why does the Death Cure piss you off?
Because it made no sense.
Because it makes no sense. That's why. So
didn't and it wasn't. There you go. You heard it here first, folks.
Okay, that was weird. Sorry, after discussing Maze Runner, we then had to stop because Noah needed an explanation of fractals. So we did a lesson on how to construct a Sierpinski gasket, and he got that, which, by the way, the Sierpinski gasket has an infinite border around zero total area, so that was pretty cool. And then we spent like 3 or 4 minutes watching part of a video on the Mandelbrot set and just watching it zoom in on that, and it was hypnotic and very educational. So,
yeah,
okay.
It really was cool.
See? Really cool.
In fact,
cool.
It had another bean inside of it. That's what I'm calling the big thing.
Yep, he was, yeah. The
big repeating circle.
Yeah, the whole of the Mandelbrot set looks like a bean, and we did a zoom, and we got into about, 100 billion times magnification. Suddenly, there was an almost perfect copy of the whole Mandelbrot set at that teeny tiny scale, except it was turned around about 120 degrees to one side, so it was super cool. So we found it. 39, guy.
39, human.
39 is from Kyle. And Kyle says, oh, I was afraid it was going to be this question. Darn it. What was the last documentary you watched? Review it in less than 10 words. Okay, I have absolutely no idea what the last documentary I watched was. I'm trying really hard here, but it's been a while. Okay, but I do have an interesting story about a documentary I just heard of. Does that count? Maybe?
Yeah, it has to be 10 words or less.
Well, I can't do that. Look, we were watching Ready Player One, and afterwards, as always happens, we start trying to figure out where we've seen some of these actors and actresses from, and some of them are very easy, but the one woman, and she's one of the bad guys, my wife is convinced that she's seen her somewhere before, and so I look her up, and it turns out that no, we've never seen her anywhere before, but it does show her as playing the same character, Veronica, I think was the name, playing the same character.
One of the villain ladies?
Yeah, the villain lady finale.
Yeah.
Yeah. She played the same character, Veronica, in two different TV shows from the UK, and one is called Banana, and one is called Cucumber. And so I'm looking at the
Britain loves its phallic produce.
Wait, just wait, you don't even know. And so here's the thing. She plays Veronica in the TV show Banana, and she plays Veronica in the TV show Cucumber. And the two covers for them, the show posters, whatever they are, one shows a banana on a blue background, plain blue background, banana coming in from the side of the screen and standing up, looking very, very phallic. The cucumber is the exact same background with the cucumber in the exact same phallic pose, as it were, as the banana. Clearly these are interconnected. She plays the same character. They've got the same covers to them. They're clearly connected, so I have to look this up.
Is there going to be an eggplant? What's going on?
No, the third one is called tofu. There is tofu, and then there is banana, and then there is cucumber. And they are interconnected. They are like sister shows is the way they're described. And they're all about queer culture in the United Kingdom. And tofu, particularly, is a documentary shown on one channel. And then the other, all three of them are on three different British channels. And banana is about eight different queer couples and following them, and it's not a documentary. And then the third one is just a full-on drama about one specific couple. And they have some crossover stuff, and they're interconnected, but they are award-winning and progressive and all of this. And so where do the names come from, you wonder?
The felicity, I can't think of the term for that.
The
phallicness of their...
Right. The tofu, they're actually missing one. They just went with banana, but it is, the scale is tofu, unpeeled banana. No, it's tofu, peeled banana, unpeeled banana, cucumber. It is from a very specific erection hardness scale, because scientists need that, an erection hardness scale, that runs from tofu to cucumber. And so they took those terms and had a little fun with it, and they made themselves three different TV shows based on that. There you go. Now, again, I've not actually seen the documentary Tofu, but I was very entertained by it. So that's what we've got. How about you, Aiden? Have you seen any documentaries lately?
Yeah, I saw one about bears.
Like grizzly bears? Like salmon catching?
I mean, they could.
Like talking about their endangered habitat?
No.
Okay. Was it any good?
Yeah, it was really good.
All right. And it was a documentary?
Yeah.
Okay. Just checking.
Talking about their culture and whatnot.
Yes, bear culture.
Yeah, the bear necessities, if you will. Man, that puts that whole song in a whole new light, huh?
Oh, no.
I follow you. 20. 20 is...
What are you reading? That says 60.
It flipped over when I moved it.
Oh, sure.
No, that would, because it happened the first time too, and I thought, I called the number out, and then when I set it down, the die flipped over, and I thought, oh crap, Aiden's gonna call me out on that, and he's gonna think I'm an idiot, and that,
you don't need me to call you out for me to think that.
Waited until three rolls later for that to come up. This one's from Ronster. Ronster says, if you had a GoPro, Aiden, what activity would you use it for? Skydiving?
Yeah, sure. That's what came to mind.
Is it? All right, stop that.
I'd use it for epic paintball warfare with, like, paintball mix.
I'd launch it out of an air-compressed cannon.
See? That would be fun. All right, I can go with those. If I had a GoPro, I can't imagine what I'd use a GoPro for. I barely record myself doing anything right now. I would give it to my kids and let them fire it out of a cannon. 73? All right, good. We're in agreement on this one, then.
Nerd.
73 comes... We don't call nerds anymore. Not with that tone of voice.
Why? It's a sign of pride.
Not with that tone of voice.
Nerd.
You know what? Dave was just complimenting me today on how he's noticed that we haven't been calling nerd anymore.
Oh, wow. Now I have to do it more now that I know it bothers
him. And he thought that was super cool of us to not be doing that. And here, you had to go ruin the whole thing. God. All right. 73 is from Ronster. And Ron says, type where into Google and read the top three results.
All right.
Sure. Why not? How do I get to Google computer? Computer. Google.
Google.com, the website.
Yes. Right. All right. Hold on. Let me go to Bing and ask it where Google is.
No,
where?
Come on, no one uses Bing. Go to Dogpile.
Alright. Oh, wow. Alright, these are very specific because the two of them in purple belong to me, and it was, where do we get melatonin? Because Noah was asking that question. Where to go on Valentine's Day in Northeast Nebraska, it says specifically. Was it Eli that asked the
melatonin?
Because
Dad can't be romantic on his own.
Well, no, I knew where we were going, but I was looking to see if there was something unusual or different. So, Google, hey, don't knock me. At least I'm making an effort. What did you do for Valentine's Day?
Went out with my then
partner. Stayed home alone.
No,
loser.
I went out with
and then the ones
my
that,
date.
That's true. You did.
I don't have a date.
That's right. And that's appropriate at 12. And then the first three black answers that are not ones that I've typed in are Where's Waldo? Where's My Refund? And Where is Villanova University? Why is Villanova University on here? That is bizarre.
I don't know, but it's the third result.
Yeah. Where it is, well, it's at 800 East Lancaster Avenue, Villanova, Pennsylvania. There you go. 199085.
What's with Villanova? Why are they so popular?
I don't know. Is Villanova University an Ivy League school? Related question. That is weird. Okay. So anyway, it is 44. And 44 is from, I think Noah thinks I'm upset with him, but I was just telling him to keep his elbows off the table because he keeps shaking it. You guys can probably hear that echoing up through the microphone, so...
It's from Ronster.
It's from Ron. Ron says, would you be willing to give up all TV, movies, and screen entertainment to achieve a personal goal for yourself or your family?
Would I be able to get it back after I completed the goal?
No.
Then no. That's super short-sighted.
That is, yeah, look, all screen entertainment? That is really drastic. Now, look. Are you going to tell me then that, because this is a goal, when you say goal, you're talking about something a goal I've set for myself, a goal I would like to achieve for myself, and are you then putting on the further stipulation that says, if I don't give up my screen entertainments, then I am now barred from achieving my goal? Is that how this magic works? Or are you just offering me the chance to give up my screen entertainments as a shortcut to achieving my goal? Although, you know, giving up all screen time certainly is a way to produce a lot of extra hours in a day, isn't it? Are you trying to send a message here? Because I don't know if I appreciate your tone. Huh. That is interesting. Although, look, one of my personal goals is completing Godball, and that requires screen time. Is that, or is my forum work and word processing and all that not a screen entertainment? Like, we're just talking about giving up movies and TV shows and YouTube and that kind of stuff. Hard to say. You have got to stop that. Jesus H. Stop. What is wrong with you?
Stop what? What am I doing?
He's got a rubber monster grabber hand, one of those little extendo arms, and you pull the lever, and then the hand on the end is all grippy. And his is the monster hand that looks like it's a green Frankenstein thing with red fingernails on it. And it is creepy, and he won't keep it out of my damn face. So, I didn't actually answer that question. And the answer is, look, under the conditions that this is just offering me a shortcut way to achieve a goal, to achieve it faster because I've given up screen time and however that magic works, then no, probably not. Because that is a huge give. I mean, our screen entertainments is, you know, it's educational, although it's not primarily educational. It is mostly entertainment, and it is family time, and it is bonding, it is maintaining contact with certain cultural touchstones, and I don't know how important all that stuff is, but it is certainly a big part of my life. So who knows? But no, I probably wouldn't, knowing that I could still achieve the goal even without that. But if I'm barred from achieving my goal because I won't give up my screen time, then okay, sure, I will. There. Now, how about you, Noah? You going to give up all your screen time to achieve a personal goal? No video games, no YouTube, no TV, no any of that. Could you give all that up to achieve some personal goal of yours? But my personal goal was to set the world record for most screen time. Okay.
I really don't think so.
See, exactly.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm weak. Sorry.
I'm pathetic.
Oh, 08.
08 comes from... It's from Walrus! Hey, Walrus. And the Walrus says, if you could be any AD&D player race for reals, what would it be? So, any Pathfinder race, essentially. For reals. What would you be? Just going from...
I'd be Dragonkin, because that is in the news.
No, that wasn't... But Dragonkin was not available in Advanced Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, dang it.
I know. You're limited to human, elf, dwarf, halfling, half-orc, gnome, half-elf. Elf?
Yeah.
Does wear...
Longevity and good looks.
Does weream count as a race?
No.
As part of the race?
No, but if you...
Dang it!
If you would like to be a half-orc weream, we'll give you that one.
Yes.
Wow. You know, the 2,000-year lifespan on those elves is really tempting. I mean, you know, a knack for magic and...
Think about Yancy and your other friends who will die in your lifetime, Dad!
Centuries. Good. Centuries of lifetime. Oh, yeah. Plus, you're way above average looking and usually smart, talented.
Those ears will get you all the girls.
Quickly, I wouldn't, because think of your friends. They'll die before you.
Well, then that's their fault for picking Goblin. I don't know what to do for them. So, although now also remember that in Advanced Dungeons and Dragons, elves were only 5 feet tall. But
okay,
they weren't all Legolas giant superhumans. But whatever. That's still just fine with me. I'll go elf.
Your friends dying.
62. I don't like my friends that much. Come on.
Come on.
All right. 62 is from Ronster. Ron says, "What disappointment or failure has taught you the best lesson, and what was that lesson?"
His second kid. Try not to have more.
What? No, I didn't learn any lessons. I didn't learn any lesson from that. And dude, when you were little, you were so adorable. With your chubby cheeks.
Oh, don't touch me.
Let me touch your chubby cheeks. Come on.
Let me touch yours. Let's go.
You won't let me touch this.
Having me and not having any more.
No. You just...
Because you guys were like, oh, this is too much for us. We can't even do another child.
The question says, what was your greatest failure?
Or what failure... The biggest ladder at the playground of my school and getting some scar tissue, and it teaches me to be careful with where I step because it hurt and it still has scars.
You're still not careful.
What a great lesson. Okay, this is going to be a cheat because, alright, well, first off, I'm having a tough time with this question because
you've never failed in your life.
No, I have, but I don't normally view them as failures. It is just...
More as a downfall.
No, because I am so... I appreciate my life, and I appreciate everything about it, and the times that I haven't achieved everything I thought I should, or the times that I've failed at something in particular, in retrospect, when I look back on them, I don't picture them as failures because it's brought me to where I am, and so I'm cool with it. But having said that, here's where the cheat part comes in, is that I'm not actually going to tell you because I would say that the most valuable lessons in failure for me have been relationship-wise, in that times where
same
I have let down people around me, times that I've you know, screwed up in something that, you know, with my wife, with my family, but most often it's with my wife because she's the most important person to me. So when I have failed her in particular, all of those have wound up being very important learning. Let's back up to one of the very earliest ones.
Like in life, I don't have any regrets. I don't regret anyone that I've spent time with or any of that. It's just
right.
A lot of it became a learning experience.
Yes. And so let me back all the way up to when we were, before we were married, very early on in our relationship, and we got into our first really huge fight. I mean, just screaming at each other and just, it was bad.
I mean, that just happens every day, so.
For me, I did not grow up with my parents fighting a lot in front of us. And I had never been in a relationship where I had ever had a fight like that. And so I just assumed that we were done and that that was the end of our relationship. Whereas my wife, had a more healthy attitude towards, yeah, no, look, sometimes people fight. Sometimes they disagree and sometimes you scream at each other. But guess what? When it's all over, you figure out how to work it out. And that was a huge learning experience for me and throughout our relationship. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to divulge details, of my personal life in that sense, because it's not just my life. It's hers as well. It's my family's life. So I'm not going to delve into a whole bunch of details about it, but suffice to say that the times that I have let my family down have been the times that I've learned the most, on how to be the kind of man I want to be, for what that's worth. So how about you?
Oh, that's easy. My biggest failure was losing my job at Nintendo.
Okay, I have questions.
Okay.
First of all, I can first off see how that would be a huge disappointment to a person.
It was a great job.
You worked at Nintendo?
Yeah, for like 3 years.
So like while you were still in high school.
Yeah. Wait, how old do you think I am?
Okay, you know what? Maybe I'm approaching this the wrong way. How about, how'd you lose your job at Nintendo?
Oh, something dumb. I misused the office horse.
And so having...
What?
Noah, since you're too young to work, most offices have a horse. That's just, you'll just have to accept that.
Really? All right,
so,
oh my goodness!
So, what, the question really is, what did you learn from that?
The proper way to, use a horse.
Oh my god. Alright, you know what? I am sorry that I even asked you. We're gonna...
47.
47. And yet, you know, guys, I know I said it was past Noah's bedtime, and now it's really past Noah's bedtime. But on the other hand, it is Easter break, so.
And he is sleeping on the table, so.
He doesn't have to go to school tomorrow. So, unlike me, I have to go to work tomorrow. But. Number 47.
Late tomorrow.
So. Number 47 is from Ronster. And it says, do you or Aiden have bumper stickers on your cars? And if so, what kind? How many?
We don't, and zero.
Yeah. No, and no, and none. Because.
No, no, and none.
I don't do that. Because I.
It's just extra work when you want to get rid of it.
Exactly. Which, you know, now that I think about it, I never sell any cars. I drive them until they implode, and then I drag them to a junkyard.
and then they destroy the universe and everything they touch.
And so, you know, not once have I ever been concerned that I'm going to get to a junkyard and they're going to go, well, yeah, but look at that bumper sticker. I can't take that piece of crap. It's never going to happen. So I suppose I shouldn't be so intimidated.
Hey, whoa. We sold my old car.
Yeah? Oh, yeah. Yeah, we did, for about what we would have gotten at the junkyard. But still.
Hey, he said he was going to do something with it, so.
That's right. So.
If I had a bumper sticker, I'd have it say, I don't even know why I put this on here.
Yeah. I don't like bumper stickers. I'm just not, I mean, I suppose I could
have one that said, God, I hate bumper stickers.
Yeah, I suppose I could do window decals, but even that, I'm not.
Eli couldn't, he'll always put them upside down.
It's not, it was not upside down, he was just a little crooked, and it was the park sticker. Okay, he was a lot crooked, but,
drive mom crazy.
And he said, here, can I put that on? And I said, the park sticker? And he said, yeah, can I put on the park sticker? And I said, well, you know, so I said, you know, it is your mom's car, she's not going to be happy, it's got to be perfectly straight. Or at least as straight as you're going to get it, like, you know, because you can see the other ones, they're all maybe a little bit off, but, you know, you have to be at least that good, or she's going to drive her bats. You know that. He's like, not a problem, I got this. I'm like, are you sure? And I knew. I mean, but I said, okay, go ahead. And sure enough, it's off by about 15 degrees. So, because, yeah, stickers are really tough, especially when you're putting them on the window, and once one corner sticks down, the whole thing is just kind of...
I would have purposely put the whole thing upside down.
Oh, that's why we didn't let you do it at all. You're still not trusted with window stickers. So, anyway...
Or sharp objects.
And sure enough, it does drive her crazy. So, that would be 80. And number 80 is from...
Ronster.
You think so? I think it's from Ronster.
Yeah.
All right. And Roster says...
We all know the sun will eventually cease to exist. Currently, we have no options. But what options can you see a possibility in 1,000 years? Will we be able to avoid wiping ourselves out, building a rocket, and getting off this planet?
Honestly, we have way more than 1,000 years to think of.
Well, no, but he's saying in the next 1,000 years.
And also, I mean, there's really no point because, I mean... As the sun, we will all cease to exist eventually.
True. But rather than having the sun wipe us out, you know, millions, billions of years from now, we could actually wind up having a much longer lifespan as a species, if we could get away from the sun. So, now, my, personal favorite for the short term is let's start moving into habitats that orbit our planet, habitats that orbit the sun.
That won't solve the problem.
Eventually, well, this is first steps. This is the next 100 years. And then we learn to develop our habitats such that we can survive indefinitely in space. Full recycling programs. We have everything we need. We can survive indefinitely in space. And then once we have these habitats built large enough, they become arc ships. And then we can just poof, push off into the vastness of space, and it takes us 1,000,000 years to get somewhere, that's fine. We have everything we need right there.
I mean, in all honesty, I mean, like, for at least some time, we could just join the parking lot around orbit that Elon Musk is building.
Exactly. So, we have options. That's step one, and that's the simple one that we can do with mostly conventional technology. Like, it will not take much to get to the point where we could actually build a ship that carries several thousand people, or several million people, and just goes gliding off into space and is fully self-contained and self-sustaining for however long we need it to be. But even beyond that, look, eventually, are we going to get to the singularity? Are we going to be able to put our consciousness into computers? Are we going to be able to record ourselves in some way and duplicate our minds however we need? Are we going to be able to convert ourselves into energy beings who don't rely on this physical existence? And thus we can move around much faster and survive much harsher conditions. And I have no idea about any of that. But I think the first step, the doable step, is get ourselves some arc ships and just go exploring. So there's the way to start. This is going to have to be the last one.
67.
67 is from...
67, woman!
It's from Stan. Hey, Stan. That is awesome. Ooh, this is a bedwetter behead. Barney Rubble, Gilligan, or Barney Fife?
Okay, hold on. Are these all played by Barneys?
This is no. But Barney Rubble is Fred Flintstone's best friend in the Flintstones.
I'll answer that, by the way.
Barney Fife is the goofy deputy played by Don Knotts in the Andy Griffith Show, and Gilligan is
Gilligan from Gilligan. I haven't sung the theme song.
See, he even knows the theme song. So, all right. So knowing that, let's see. Barney Rubble, Gilligan, Barney Fife. I am going to say...
Wait, Gulligal?
Gilligan.
I'm going to say that I'm going to have my night of passion with Barney Rubble, at least. That's the one thing I know.
Who's okay. Barney Rubble again? Because,
you know, he'll rock my world.
Oh, you're fired.
Who's Barney Rubble again?
Fred Flintstone's best friend. All right. Oh. I am going to take my...
Yeah,
I'm so sorry.
I'd behead Gilligan because I just hate Gilligan because of his stupid theme song that I had to sing for a concert. It just haunts me.
All right. I am going to bed Gilligan.
Really? Why Gilligan?
Because I don't want anything to do with Barney Fife, so I'm going to behead him. And if I had to marry either Gilligan or Barney Rubble, Barney Rubble is the one who has it the most together. He's got a great sense of humor.
Gilligan's got an island, though.
No, he's on a deserted island.
Barney has got a great sense of humor. He is upbeat and positive. He's not a dummy. He is, I think if I had to marry one of them, I got to marry Barney Rubble.
Yeah.
And so since, again, I gotta kill Fife, that leaves me my Knight of Passion with Gilligan. Process of elimination for me. So,
all right.
Nope, not gonna ring it. Not gonna ring it.
22.
Ooh, that's doubles. That means we get to roll again, but we're not gonna. Alright, that is from Phoebe. Hey! How cool, Phoebe. And Phoebe says, you've been happily married for a long time. Do you have any advice about having a good marriage? Do you keep regular date nights or planned time with your partner? Or is that unplanned as time permits? Especially now with MoviePass. Man, I cannot recommend this thing enough that it's a lot easier to just spur of the moment, just go out. There's times that it's like, so, hey, you know what? Yeah, I know we weren't planning on anything. I know we've got work to do, but you know what? Let's just go out to dinner. Let's just ditch the kids. Let's go out and hang out. And so every once in a while, we'll do that on the spur of the moment. We also do have, we try and plan something to do together on a regular basis. We do have regular things like our Valentine's Day trip that every year for Valentine's Day, it's just an excuse for us to get out of town. We go get a hotel somewhere. We're away from everybody, and it's just a couple of days for us to recharge and be together, that kind of stuff. But my only real advice, because I've been happily married for a long time, and it's wonderful, but I don't know if I can consolidate all of my advice. I have absolutely no idea. But communication. Honesty, communication. Making sure that you're always understanding where the other one is. Hopefully you're on the same page together, but the times that you're not on the same page together, at least you understand and respect each other's positions and what they're going through and this kind of stuff. So there, that's the best I can do. So, and then that's it. So I'm going to turn it over to GLaDOS. And GLaDOS is going to give us a recap of this week's episode so far.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2018 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week was Sci-Fi Double Feature by Me First and the Gimme Gimmies. All the songs I use are available on iTunes. You check them out, you buy them, you enjoy them. I wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. If you want to do something nice to help out Nerd Pride Radio, subscribe to this podcast in iTunes or whatever podcatcher you use, and write us a nice review or don't, as long as you give us 5 stars. You can say crappy things if you give 5 stars, because that's the only thing they really look at. It makes a difference. But you want to do something super nice for me in this podcast? Recommend it to your friends. Honestly, you're enjoying it. You need to spread the word and let other people enjoy it as well, because word of mouth is my bread and butter, people. Remember, I'm always looking for you listeners to do my work for me. Don't forget to send me questions and topics for the Podomatic. Watch out every week on the forums and on Facebook for listener betrayal. And if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, send it to me, which my brother has actually sent me the next 5. So I've got 226 through 230 already worked out. But if you guys want to help out, you can add more to those. You can give me ones after 230. I don't care. Save me all of that grueling research. You guys are awesome. My contact information, Mike at Nerd Pride Radio, at Nerd Pride Radio on Twitter, or Facebook.com/Nerd Pride Radio. But to be completely honest, the very best way to talk to me is to come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. You sign up there, send me a message, we will hang out together, we will become best friends in the world. We'll have fun. And now it's time for listener betrayal. Before I start recording every podcast, I go out to my forums and to Facebook, and then Aiden goes out to his private list, and we say, hey guys, we are recording. Anything you post up, we will read off at the end of the podcast, which is what we're doing right now. So, let me start off with my website at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. Since we didn't get anything from them last time, maybe they've made it up to us. We've got something this time.
Can you just hit that button?
Let's find out. I like to see if it refreshes and I actually get something. Oh, cool.
Yeah, I've got responses. Yeah, but if you hit that button, couldn't you just automatically just be there and see if it refreshes?
Yes, but then I wouldn't know how many responses there were. It would just take me right to the last response.
Okay.
See? I have a system.
There's a scroll wheel. You could just go up.
I understand that. But I have a system, and I like it, and you suck. So,
for what it's worth.
Look, it's not anything against you personally. I'm not trying to insult you. I'm just saying you suck. I mean,
that's fine.
I mean, no offense intended, but you suck. That's what I meant. Okay. So, the only response is from
your site, at least.
Is from Phoebe. I said, we're on. And let's try this again. Same question as last week. Name an awesome character from a crappy TV show. And then talk to us. Anything you post, we read. Phoebe says, I have negative feelings about Lost, but still loved some of the characters. Saeed, Hurley, Sun, Miles. Sure. Yeah, no, I'll give you that.
I didn't like Lost as well.
Well, actually, in retrospect, I have fond memories of Lost.
Yes.
And I have fond memories of the potential that it had, and I recognize that there were some failed bits to it. But overall, I'm not sorry I watched it. But I also really liked a lot of the characters. Phoebe then continues, hey, I've been thinking about something. Maybe you can help. How awesome exactly is DM Darks?
Well, on Marcus McLaughlin's awesomeness scale, he's got about 12 megafonzies.
Oh my god! I cannot believe I was about to rate him in megafonzies. That is really good. That is all credit to Futurama.
Yes.
I was going to rate him in megafonzies as well because he's that cool. But okay,
Onto Facebook.
Yes.
And you have a blinking one, if that means anything.
Yeah, it's a message from my wife asking me if the cat pooped. So.
And it did.
And it did. In Jacob's car. It was Jacob's cat.
In Jacob's car.
Right. He was driving home, and the cat pooped in his car on the way home, but apparently kept it on top of a plastic bag, so he literally just had to lift up the bag and throw it away. So, at least the cat was convenient about it.
So does that mean that I can poop in Jacob's car as long as it's on a plastic bag?
As long as you poop in a plastic bag, yes, you can poop anywhere you want. That's the law. All right. So, let's see. Close that out. Go to... Hey, look, there's some responses here on my website.
Hey, on Facebook. It's not yours.
You're right. On my Facebook page is what I meant. God, you know, after Facebook's garbage, so many people are deleting their Facebook accounts, and I've considered it.
What Facebook garbage, specifically?
The Cambridge Analytica stuff, where Facebook allowed a company to unethically gather a whole bunch of information and then use it for unethical purposes, and they knew about it 2 years ago and basically let them off with, hey, you guys can't do that. You promised me that you destroyed that data and you're not going to use it? Oh, yeah, we pinky swear. All right, then I guess we're all good.
Oh, that's what that was on Reddit.
Right, and
so... There was a picture of some dude carrying a whole butt ton of files out of a building.
Right.
Because of some sort of search warrant.
Yeah, and so they wound up...
Why would you, if you have the tech files, why would you not just keep them digital?
I don't know what that was about. Hell, that may have been something with the investigations on Russian collusion. Who knows? The point with Cambridge Analytica was it was 2 years ago.
That was definitely the name of the company.
And
in the post.
And Facebook knew what was going on, and they took steps to try and tighten things up so that people couldn't pull that sort of shenanigans again. But ultimately, they only fessed up to it and only faced it and actually started taking serious action once, apparently, I'm guessing, they got calls from a reporter because someone was going to write a news story about it. And then that's suddenly when Facebook decided, you know what, it's time for us to address this with our customers. Because someone was about to rat you out. And so a lot of people have realized that, look, we can't trust Facebook. We know we've never been able to trust Facebook, and clearly we're not going to be able to trust them going forward, so it's time to delete our accounts. But man, when you have...
World's largest social media network.
Right, when you have so many people have creative endeavors, business stuff that depends on finding people through Facebook, it's really hard to get rid of it. So anyway, my question on Facebook was, we're recording episode 225 and we want you to be a part of it, post up, blah, blah, blah. Also, what's the first TV show you remember being your favorite?
Mine was Bananas in Pajamas.
Spoiler, mine was Sesame Street. Bananas in Pajamas, that's awesome. What did you like best about it?
I don't remember. I remember that there were two bananas and they were wearing pajamas.
So, all right. That's actually pretty accurate. So, my mom tells me that Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood was my favorite show. And I wish I remembered that being my favorite show.
He creeped me out.
Oh, I remember loving Mr. Rogers. I've always liked Mr. Rogers. I remember loving his show, but I don't remember it being my favorite show. I always remember Sesame Street and then later Electric Company because Electric Company was so loud. But I remember Sesame Street being my favorite show. That's the first one I remember. But let's go down to my responses. I got Sarah Beth, who says, oh, Reading Rainbow, had my first crush on LeVar Burton and used to kiss the TV screen when no one was looking. Hashtag nerd. That is so sweet. So that was your first crush on LeVar Burton. When was your second crush?
Does Pat know?
Probably Next Generation would have been your second crush on LeVar Burton.
Does Pat know that your first kiss was LeVar Burton?
And then his recent appearance on the Crooked Media podcast, Love It or Leave It, where he was spectacular. He was really good at that one. So, God, what was it? I cannot remember. At one point in the thing, somebody was talking about something, and he was like basically saying, no, that's not me. And his response was, I'm sorry, Kunta, don't play that, which was really funny. And God, somebody on the show wanted to tell him to, oh man. If I had known this was going to come up, I would have re-listened to the episode because someone made a really funny Reading Rainbow reference, in telling LeVar Burton to fuck off on the show. And it was really funny and everyone had a big laugh. So it was terribly cute. But, anyway, that good choice. So, and she says, that reminds me that if you aren't listening to the LeVar Burton Reads podcast, you totally should be. I know I totally should because I love LeVar Burton, and I'm looking for new podcasts. I just grabbed a whole bunch of new ones.
You have like 400 podcasts.
I just grabbed a bunch of new ones, and I don't like any of them, so I'm ditching them all again. So you know what? I'm gonna put LeVar Burton Reads on there because I've really got to. So, oh shoot, I have more comments. Let me refresh this page, and then I have to say done so that we quit getting new comments.
Are you complaining about content?
Well, no. But what I'm always afraid of is if I don't put done, then I'm afraid. Yeah, I'm afraid that. Well, no. I'm afraid of missing somebody. I'm afraid of clicking out of there and then not seeing someone's response, and then I feel bad leaving somebody out. So, let me try this again. Come on. All right, here we go. And then I put done. All right. The next response is from Nellie.
No.
Oh, sorry. It's more Sarah Beth. Sarah Beth says, Pat says Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. All right, good one. I can relate to that. That's a little bit after my time, but I get it.
It's one of the first shows to have everything you need in the title.
And then... Nelly says, Blue's Clues with an exclamation point. Wow, that makes me feel old, because that was Jacob's favorite show. So, my oldest son. But yeah, Blue's Clues was awesome. I remember watching Blue's Clues with him, and yeah, I know it was cheesy and dumb, but we loved, even as adults, loved every minute because it made the kids so happy. We even took Jacob to go see Blue's Clues live. That's how much we liked Blue's Clues.
I think so, I went to Blue's Clues Live, too.
I think you did, too. Yeah.
Because I vaguely remember the guy who played Steve chasing his chair around the stage.
Yeah, I think that's about right.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. That's cool. Oh, Akiva says Brady Bunch. Really? That's pretty good, too. Because I watched a lot of Brady Bunch when I was a kid. So... God, these are all great answers. You guys are awesome. All right, well, that's it for Facebook. That's it for my website. So, what do you got, son?
I have got... I should have been more prepared for this. All right. What's the dumbest situation that Jacob and company ever got into in D&D, and what's the coolest? Now, I don't know about the coolest. Might have been Rambi the Rhinoceros flying through a bell tower.
Right, but we've already covered that one.
I think the dumbest thing we ever did was we got captured by a village of demons.
Yeah?
Dwarf demons. Devils. I don't know what you want to call them.
I think it was devils, but either way.
Anyway, so we were in prison and they had all our stuff.
Uh-huh.
And our warden happened to be a woman, a dwarf woman.
Uh-huh.
Jacob happened to be playing a dwarf male.
Yes.
We convinced Jacob to have relations with the jailer...
It wasn't even in prison. No. You're misremembering.
Because, am I?
Yeah.
I was very young.
Yeah. This was written up, this is actually from, if you go to the games page of my website, nerdprideradio.com, and go to the main, front page of the website, not the forums, and click the games link, and you can find 50 bar encounters, which is a D&D Pathfinder supplement that my brother and I wrote years ago. And it's just, hey, your group wanders into a bar, and here's something cool that might happen. And one of those encounters was the female guard, town guard, basically. And she's like a captain of the town guard. And she approaches the table, and she finds the most attractive male, and then basically just starts picking on the group. Just starts picking on them and harassing them and starts listing off all the different charges that she could file against them. So, you know, the your mishandling of weapons, your public display of weaponry in town, your mishandling of your animals, your familiars, your anything that she can point to as a possible citation. And she'll have this whole long list of it, and she'll be all badass and mean about it. And then she will suggest that, well, but you know what? She doesn't do this sort of thing to her friends. You know, if you were one of her friends, maybe she could let you off. Maybe one of you wants to be her friend. And then she leers and leans heavily on the one. So, yes, this is where Aiden's story picks up.
So beyond that, I remember that we had to have him do it again to get, like, our stuff back or something.
Yes, yeah. There were
third time, I don't remember.
No, it was twice. And things had been confiscated. And, yes, Jacob decided that he was going to take one for the team. Because it was, you know, to him, he was not, this was not a character of upstanding moral quality. Not that a one-night stand necessarily implies anything, depending on your alignment and ethos and whatever. It's not like he had taken a vow of chastity or that he had a significant other. And so he chose to take one for the team. It would not have been his preference, but okay, he'll do.
But that's not the point of this story. We eventually get out of the dwarf village.
Uh-huh.
And we're sailing in our boat down the river.
Uh-huh.
And in the middle of the river, our boat just stops. And the trees start moving. And they start talking to us. Asking us why we should let them pass. And as we're talking about it, one of the tree ants says, I mean, we could just eat them. And without thinking, I blurt out, quick, Jacob, sleep with them!
I remember that line. That was really good.
I mean, it seemed to work for our other situations.
So, all right, and then similar, I don't know about coolest. Look, all right, cool, when they were fighting the half-ogres, actually they were Orogs. They were half-ogre, half-orc. And they were fighting the Orogs, and oh, you guys, like, lined up on rooftops.
Oh, yeah.
And you were firing down on them, and they had, I mean, it was Jacob and Micah both had these huge spells going, and that was a pretty badass fight. That one was really good. No, the one I thought you were going to bring up was in that same group when...
Well, that's the only Jacob and company I can think of.
Yeah, same group, and they're wandering through... They were wandering through devil territory. I mean, everything was devil
related. Right, because we had to go get Jacob's friend's sword repaired.
Right, and anyway...
Demon sword.
So they wind up in a town where this elven, half-elven, whatever, noble woman of some sort, she is apparently the leader of this town, and she is... oh, yeah, you know the story. And she's begging for these heroic... these heroes to help her town, and, oh, we're so glad to see you, you great protectors, this whole thing. And so they bring the heroes in, and we wine and dine them, and we have this big feast.
And then Zach disappears.
And then Zach thought he was such a player. Here he is with this gorgeous woman, and he is, and she's clearly interested. And
he gets her in bed.
No, wait, don't, look. I mean, we're gonna leave it up to the imagination. It's just fine. Hey, Zach, on your way up there, could you just make me a couple of dice rolls? Could ya? All right. Yeah, that's not good. All right, whatever. No, you know what, you're
and
fine.
And then later, without any warning, we're just doing our stuff downstairs, and Dad looks at his sheet and is like, oh, by the way, Zach's losing levels.
So it turns out that the whole thing, I mean, they were never suspicious. They never checked anything. It's like there was no, I mean, I dropped some clues because she had this either brother or... Well, they claimed it was his brother, but they clearly weren't related. And this guy was all dour and suspicious. And there were hints here that maybe all was not as it seemed.
We were young and we were listening to the bro code, all right?
And nobody investigated anything. And they just let Zach go wander off with a succubus is what they did. And now, rules as written for a succubus, literally he should have been dead in all of about 40 seconds. Because that's how quickly they drain levels. But no, we're gonna play this out. She's going to toy with her food, as it were. And So she takes him upstairs, and it's like, you know, a level an hour. We'll make this thing last. And, you know, we don't go...
We were only, like, fourth level at the time.
Yeah, well, they were high school, and you were a young kid, so it's not like we were going into any details of what happened. It's just, you know, it's the hey, they go upstairs, fade to black. And...
Unfade from black, now we're pulling him away.
And I can't remember, was it the little plant creature that gave you guys warning?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we had a flower with us.
Yeah, oh, God, she was awesome. I loved her until she betrayed you guys, and then Micah cast her out and would never forgive her for it.
I mean, wasn't he a druid?
Yeah, it was. Oh, he was so offended that the plants would betray him. But yeah, they got some warning that, hey, your friend's in some trouble. You might want to investigate, because they clearly weren't going to investigate on their own. And so they go up there, and there's Zach, happy as can be, slowly dying because he's completely hypnotized and oblivious to the danger. And so they finally drag him out of there. I mean, literally drag him naked from the bedroom with him begging to stay. And ultimately they wind up saving him. And I think that adventure ended before he actually regained all of his levels.
No. We let him study and do whatever he needed to get him back up before we left.
That's right. That's right. I do remember. All right, and who did that one come from?
That came from Sam.
Oh, okay. Hey, thanks, Sam. That was awesome.
All right, we got...
Oh, yeah, Zach. That's Sam's brother. So, by the way, that was your brother who was being an idiot. So, there you go.
Okay, from Emily.
Okay.
Morning showers or night showers? Which is superior and why?
Morning showers, way superior because...
Yeah, because you feel refreshed for your whole day.
Yeah, it wakes me up, it clears my head. And, even if I get a shower before I go to bed, and then I have perfectly clean sheets and everything's as pristine as it can be, I still feel like I'm going to sweat a little bit during the night.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to wake up and my hair is going to be sticking off to one side, so I'm going to need to do something to wet it down and fix it anyway. It's morning shower is far superior. I got that one.
Next is from Emily.
Okay.
Says, Aiden, talk about long hair versus short hair and how you learn to care for your hair. This is Emily knows me personally. She knows that for a very long time I had very long hair, and right now I'm keeping it a little shorter. So, the thing with my long hair is you have to learn to not, like you have to get in a schedule of not fully washing it every day. Because that's how you, like, just destroy your hair. And, like, for me, it just gets really frizzy and uncontrollable and damaged. And so, skip a day. Maybe two.
You gotta
run water over it every day. And
He has thick, awesome, luxurious hair, and I'm very jealous of it. I've always had thin, limp hair. I also had very long hair when I was in college.
Yeah, but you couldn't pull it off nearly as good as
that. I had a ponytail and the whole business. And I never did take care of it properly, and it always looked ratty, so mine's nothing to brag about. So, what else you got?
I also prefer longer hair, because I like the option of the ways I can wear it. Right now I've got it up in a hipster cut where it's longer on the top and nearly bald on the sides, but yeah, I prefer my hair longer. This next one is from Emily.
Okay.
She wants me to list podcasts that are great to fall asleep to.
I can't do it.
No sleep podcast.
Yeah, the no sleep podcast. That's a great one.
Welcome to Night Vale's a really good one to fall asleep to.
I suppose that one's not bad because it doesn't really matter if you miss pieces.
Right.
See, for me, TV shows, movies, podcasts, if I'm listening to something, I can't fall asleep. If I've got something to watch or listen to, I can't fall asleep because I need to know how it ends.
Mm-hmm. And when I said no sleep, if you can handle horror or anything, just fall asleep to it. You don't even need to listen. It's just soft talking. But
sometimes it's quite disturbing.
Yeah. So, and, listener be wary.
And most of the no sleep podcasts are appropriate for even my younger kids. Every once in a while they hit one that's a little...
Really, really racy.
Yeah, more graphically violent, more disturbingly violent. Those are really bad ones. And sometimes there are ones that are more graphically sexual, mm-hmm. that are a little harder. But for the most part, most of them, even Eli and Noah can listen to it, and they enjoy them. And so, and we critique them afterwards, and we have a really good time with them. In fact, oh God, it was one of the most pleasant things. We went camping once, and with the Boy Scouts, and so we were in a tent, and Eli was sharing a tent with one of his friends. So it was just me and Noah in our tent. And I had the No Sleep podcast going, and so I'm laying there listening to it, and finally he came to the tent to go to bed, and he's like, so can I have the other earbud? I'm like, sure, what the hell? So we sat there, and neither one of us...
In a dark tent.
In a dark tent while we're camping. It's really chilly out, and we're all wrapped up tight in our sleeping bags, and neither one of us could fall asleep. Just not because of the podcast, but we just couldn't fall asleep. I think we listened to like 2 hours of No Sleep straight through. Just listened to 2 episodes back to back and went all the way through them. We had a really good time. They were awesome episodes, and it was really fun. Anyway, yeah, I don't know what you can fall asleep to, but
yeah, I don't know either.
Maybe a news one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something like that.
And
This next one's from Emily.
Okay.
She wants to know, what are your favorite ways to self-care?
Self-care.
I usually, when I've got a day off, I'll just take a lazy day and I'll sit back, play video games, watch YouTube, and just kind of relax and keep my stress levels low.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look, for me, I, honestly, relaxing in the bath with a book. That is one of my favorite ways, and I don't do it often enough.
Do you have scented candles, too?
If we had scented candles in there, I would light them. Absolutely. But no.
Do it little bit of some salt in the water.
Look.
Bath bomb, maybe.
Here's the thing. I like... Nothing wrong with any of that. I don't understand why this is a problem for you.
No, it's just a stereotype. Just keep going.
Really? It's making you sound really, really... Kind of bigoted. You know what I'm saying?
Whoa. I'm just saying those things go well together. I'm not saying that...
Really? Is that why you say it with a snicker in your voice? You are so bad.
I meant to tell you that we have a segment of Mike Was Wrong.
Oh, do we?
Every time that I've talked about something general with he, when the subject is unknown, in the English language, he is the proper term.
No. No, it's not.
That's what I learned in my... senior year English class.
Right. And that is a misogynistic aspect of our language, is that when you are unsure of gender, then masculine is always the default.
And okay.
That's wrong, and it shouldn't be. You should either say they, or if you need to be clearer than that, you should say he or she. Still excludes non-binary people, I suppose.
I'm just saying that everything you're saying wouldn't be accepted in a college-level essay, so...
Right, which is why I don't write college-level essays anymore. They're terrible.
Yeah, fair enough.
See? Exactly. How often are you writing college-level essays? Right?
Every day. Shut up. You don't know me.
Okay.
All right, from Trey. He says, The Disaster Artist is a movie and book worth watching / reading. All right.
Is that with a question mark at the end?
No, that's just a statement. He just wants our audience to know that.
Yeah, I've heard good things about The Disaster Artist.
Yeah, right? Watch or read it. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Next one is from my friend John. Hi, John.
Hey, John. Yeah, did great radio. Get it.
Sorry, I'm trying to make sense of John's gibberish.
Okay.
Dylan clicked like Knuckles. Blaine said it's time, Bessie.
What?
Top one right there.
Dylan clicked like Knuckles. Blaine said it's time, Bessie. Wow. All right. And is there a clarification?
I'm saying you guys do an amazing job.
All right.
Thanks.
That's what I thought you meant. All right, that's awesome.
From Tim. Tim says, Did the Easter Bunny and Santa team up to kill Jesus in an attempt to secure their own holidays?
Look.
I wasn't expecting that.
I've seen the Tim Allen movie. That is exactly how it works.
Whoa, okay, hold up. What?
The Santa Claus with Tim Allen.
Did that happen?
That's how he became Santa Claus, is he accidentally killed Santa Claus.
No. Did Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny team up to kill Jesus
to get
their own holiday?
I'm just saying that based on the Tim Allen movie, The Santa Claus, we've already got the precedent set that killing Santa Claus allows you to become Santa Claus. So thus, is it possible that he got his own job by having to kill somebody else so that he'd get his own holiday? Maybe. If you ever read Sluggy Freelance, Sluggy Freelance is a webcomic that's been going on for 83 years now.
What?
And it's a webcomic that's been going on since before there was an internet. It's been there forever. But Sluggy Freelance is a good webcomic. It's one of the oldest out there, one of the most successful, and it's a good webcomic. It gets weird and tedious sometimes, and it's one of those adventure stories that's way better when you can read it all at once rather than trying to read it day by day and kind of maintain the excitement level. But the whole point of bringing it up is that there was a very long storyline in there where one of the main characters, Bun Bun, wound up taking over a whole bunch of other holidays by defeating the characters that owned them. And so for the longest time, like, it started off with him becoming the Easter Bunny, and then he took over Santa Claus's job, and then there were other holidays rolled in, and it was weird. So there is precedent for this story. So was that it?
That's everything. What? Let me just make sure.
Sure. You can't just say done, can you?
No, because that would require me making everything here a group message, and
right.
That wouldn't be fun. Nope, that's all I've got.
All right, then. We are all wrapped up, so you got anything you want to say in closing?
No.
All right, say goodnight, Aiden.
All right, goodnight.
Say goodnight, R2. I love you guys. We'll see you next week. It's been swell.
See you.